for although he preferred deferential company, he was made peevish by those whom he considered unworthy of his attention. He was very generous to Charlie Frost, always sharing liquor and cigars with the young man, and gifting him gallery tickets to all the latest entertainment, but occasionally he found Frost's quiet reserve grating. Mannering tended to cast his followers into roles, labelling them as one labels a man by his profession, terming him the doctor or the corporal. His labels, internally made and never voiced aloud, described other men purely by way of their relation to him, which was how he saw everyone whom he encountered, as reflections of or detractions from his own authentic self. Mannering, as has already been observed, was a very fat man. In his 20s he'd been stout, and in his 30s quite pot-bellied. By the time he reached his 40s, his torso had acquired an almost spherical proportion, and he was obliged, to his private dismay, to request assistance in both mounting and dismounting his horse. Rather than admit that his girth had become an impediment to daily activity, Mannering blamed gout, a condition with which he had never been afflicted, but one that he felt had a soundly aristocratic ring. He very much liked to be mistaken for an aristocrat, an assumption that happened very often, for he had mutton-chop whiskers and a fair complexion, and he favoured expensive dress. That day his necktie was fastened with a gold stickpin, and his vest, the buttons of which were rather palpably strained, sported notched lapels. "We are not in anything together," said Frost. "I'm sure I don't know what you mean." Mannering shook his head.
"I can see you're in a bind, Charlie. I can see it. You and Clinch both. If it comes to trial, it may come to trial, you know, then you'll have to explain why the sale of the cottage was put through so quickly. That will be the crucial point, the point on which you'll have to agree. I'm not suggesting perjury. I'm just saying your stories will have to square. What are you after? Help? Do you need an alibi?"
"An alibi?" said Frost. "Whatever for?"
"Come," said Mannering with a paternal wag of his finger. "Don't tell me you weren't up to something. Just look at how fast the sale went through."
Frost sipped at his brandy.
"We ought not to discuss it in such a casual manner. Not when there are other men involved."
This was another of his policies, always to appear reluctant to divulge.
"Hang other men!" Mannering exclaimed. "Hang ought and ought not. What's the story? Give it up!"
"I'll tell you, but there was nothing criminal about it," Frost said, not without enjoyment, for he rather liked declaring that he was not at all to blame. "The transaction was perfectly legal and perfectly sound."
"How do you explain it, then?"
"Explain what?"
"How it all happened."
"It's perfectly explicable," Frost said calmly. "When Crosby Wells died, Ben Lerventhal heard about it nearly straight away, because he went over to interview that political chap the very instant he got into town, so as to run a special in the paper the next morning. And the political chap, Lauderback's his name, Alistair Lauderback, well, he had just come from Wells' cottage. He was the one to find the fellow dead. Naturally, he told Lerventhal all about it."
"Crafty Jew," said Mannering, with some relish. "Always in the right place at the right time, aren't they?"
"I suppose,"
Frost replied, for he did not wish to register an opinion one way or another.
"But, as I was saying, Lerventhal found out about Wells' death before anybody, before the coroner even arrived at the cottage."
"But he didn't think to buy it up," said Mannering. "The land?"
"No, but he knew that Clinch was on the lookout to make an investment, and so he did him a good turn and let him in on the news. That the Wells estate would soon be up for sale, I mean. Clinch came to me the next morning with his deposit, ready to buy. And that's all there is to it."
"Oh, no, it isn't," said Mannering.
"I assure you it is," said Frost.
"I can read between the lines, Charlie," said Mannering. "Did him a good turn? From the goodness of his charitable heart, eh? Not him. Not Blumenthal. That's a tip-off. And it's a tip-off about a great bloody pile. They're in on it together. Blumenthal and Clinch. I'll bet me hat.
If they are, said Frost, shrugging, I'm sure that I don't know about it. All that I'm telling you is that the sale of the cottage was perfectly legal.
Legal, the banker tells me. But you still haven't answered my question. Why did it have to happen so bloody quickly?
Frost was unruffled. Simply because there was no paperwork in the way. Crosby Wells had nothing. No debt, no insurance, nothing to resolve. No papers.
No papers?
Not in his cottage. Not a birth certificate, not a ticket, not a license, nothing.
Mannering rolled his cigar on his fingers.
No papers, he said again. What do you make of that?
I don't know. Perhaps he lost them.
How do you lose your papers, though?
I don't know, Frost said again. He did not like to be pressed to share his views.
Perhaps someone burned them. Got rid of them.
Frost frowned slightly.
Who? That political fellow, said Mannering. Lauderback. He was the first upon the scene. Maybe he's mixed up in this business somehow. Maybe he told Lerventhal about the fortune hidden in the cottage. Maybe he saw the fortune and told Lerventhal about it, and that Lerventhal told Clinch. But that's foolish, he added,
rebutting his own hypothesis.
There's nothing in that for him, is there?
And nothing for the Jew.
Unless everyone's getting a cut somewhere along the line.
Nobody got a cut, said Frost. The fortune's being held in escrow at the bank. Nobody can touch it. At least, not until the business with the widow gets straightened out.
Oh, yes. The widow, said Mannering with relish. There's a ton of events for you. What do you make of her?
She's an acquaintance of mine, you know.
An acquaintance. Greenway, that's her maiden name. I never knew her as Mrs. Wells. The Mistress Greenway she was to me. How do you like her, Charlie?
Frost shrugged. She's got paperwork on her side, he said. If the marriage certificate turns out to be legal, then the sale will be revoked, and the fortune will be hers. That's in the hands of the bureaucrats now.
But how do you like her? I said.
Frost looked annoyed. She cuts a fine figure, he said. I think